Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father, Jesus said. That is a really cool promise Jesus has given us here. But with the parable that precedes the promise, the path to shining like the sun remains elusive at best. Questions pop up like a large bag of Orville Redenbacher movie-style popcorn in the microwave. They just keep going and going and going. By design, Jesus' parables leave us with more questions than answers about God's grace and God's mercy. Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? The slaves asked. It's a really good question, don't you think? Why in the world would God allow sin and death to run rampant in his kingdom? After all, God is almighty and God cares. So clearly he could fix this, but he doesn't. Why are hypocrites allowed to rage? Why are false teachers and charlatans allowed to inflict themselves on God's people over and over and over again? Why do we see Christians living like the devil, indistinguishable from the pagans? Why does the church limp along, threatened both from within and from without? I think it's fair to say Mary and Martha's rebuke of Jesus was warranted. They couldn't understand his late arrival to Lazarus' death. If you had been here, our brother would not have died, they added. Our confusion is about how our Lord runs his kingdom. And like Martha and Mary, where are you, Lord? Don't you care? Is our question too. But hold on just a minute. In his explanation of the parable, Jesus did say that the evil one is the cause of all of this chaos. Perhaps Flip Wilson has been right all along. The devil made me do it. But that balm of Gilead lasts about 30 seconds as the pesky questions return. Why did God create a devil in the first place? Why does he allow the evil one's minions to sow seeds of destruction even now? And do you know the answer God gives us about all this? Crickets. Stone cold silence, no answer is what we get from God. It's as if he's saying, if the phone doesn't ring, it's me. But it gets even worse. Not only do we get no answers about why God allows impurity and trouble in his kingdom, he won't allow us to do anything about it. The slave's request to go and gather the weeds is met with a resounding no. Let the wheat and the weeds grow together is what we hear. Saints and sinners, indistinguishable and left alone to remain so in this old world. The task of separating the wheat from the weeds is reserved for the angels that Jesus sends according to his timing. Now, Jesus' answer here has never sat well with the church. Throughout her history, the church has tried to separate the wheat and the weeds, the sheep and the goats, and those who are in and those who are out. The Inquisition, in which 32,000 people were executed. The 30 Years' War, in which 450,000 people died. And a ton of other attempts for purity have been made. And the weapon of choice is the law. And the results have always been rather disastrous because those deciding who's a weed are a bit blind. They have no trouble seeing a speck of sawdust in somebody else's eye, but these same folks, amazingly blind to the 2x4 stuck in their own eye. Nobody has ever been made right by the law, nor has the church ever been purified by it. In fact, the law just makes things even worse, because now it's getting personal. The law will not allow us to remain spectators. Because when we're honest, we must admit there is a lot of weed in us too. And I'm not talking about the kind you smoke. Indeed, we too are wheat and weeds all mixed up and growing together. Do you see now what I mean when I tell you Jesus' parables are not good news? They take away any comfort we might think to possess in ourselves alone, and they replace it with tears and gnashing teeth. With the parables, our questions about God's actions remain unanswered, and our questions about ourselves only increase. And speaking of this parable specifically, if we hear anything, it is that we have no control over God, His church, or our salvation. We hear clearly that God is in control of His church and us, and He will lead it all in His way and in His time. So, how in the world are we to grasp Jesus' promise to us? How are we supposed to shine like the sun when God alone is in control? Well, if you've listened to right, it's clear that God will have to make weeds like us shine. Our hands are stilled. Our mouth is shut. We are forced to listen for Him to do what only He can do. And when we hear God say words like, "Do not fear or be afraid," through the prophet Isaiah, that's when our little ears start to perk up. Indeed, "Do not fear or be afraid. The Lord has commanded me to say to you that you are righteous because of Jesus Christ, the one who's made you righteous." There at the font, there at the communion rail, from this pulpit, I say to you that you are forgiven. You are righteous for Christ's sake. When you look around at God's church, when you look in the mirror, it's weeds, 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 as far as the eye can see. And that's why Jesus told us to listen to His promise, not look around or look within. And so we would do well to listen to Luther here. He says, "In conclusion, our holiness is in heaven, where Christ is, and not in the world, visible to the eyes like items for sale at the market. Thus let scandal, party spirit, heresy, and maladies be, and let them accomplish what they will. When the gospel remains pure in our midst, then we cannot doubt that Christ is by and with us, even when things are at their worst. Let anyone with ears listen." Amen.